Loneliness. Number one, it's reality. Number two, it's robbery. And number three, it's remedy. I was 7.5 years old when I first heard this song. The reason I remember it so well is because my sister was singing it. And as she was singing it, the tears were filling her eyes. It was a song sung by a man whom Elvis Presley called the greatest singer in the world at the time. He used to wear black clothes. He had white hair, but he dyed his hair black and he wore dark sunglasses. His name was Roy Orbison. And he sang, "Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely know that these feelings just aren't right. Only the lonely know why I cry. Only the lonely." There is a sense in which this sermon will only reach those who understand, to some degree or other, the pain of loneliness. In the 1980s, the police wrote, "No one knocked upon my door for 1,000 years or more. I'm all made up with nowhere to go. Welcome to this one-man show. Just take a seat. They're always free. There's no surprise. No mystery. In this theatre that I call my soul, I always play the starring role. Lonely. Lonely. Lonely." Just in case some of you young people think this is just a bit of nostalgia, in 2016, Kid Star is said to have produced the song which is most listened to, the chorus of which goes like this: "Lonely, ain't nobody to call. Lonely, ain't nobody to hold. Lonely, ain't nobody to drink with." And the video that goes with it has a little caption which says, "You will not be missed. You will be forgotten. Loneliness, it's reality. It's been called the world's most devastating malady. The leprosy of the modern world. And the naked terror. It affects the old and the young, and the in-between. It affects the male and the female, the heterosexual, the homosexual. It affects those who are educated and those who are uneducated, those who are rich, those who are poor, those who are somebodies whom the world knows, like Einstein, who said, "It's amazing to be so well known and yet so terribly lonely." Or Elvis Presley, surrounded by women and friends and hangers-on, popular and rich, but he says, "I'm as lonely as hell." It affects every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, in some way, at some time or other. I'd like you to just listen to these quotes. "The loneliest moment in someone's life is when they are watching their whole world fall apart and all they can do is stare blankly. The eternal quest of the individual human being is to shatter his loneliness. Loneliness is the ultimate poverty.
The trouble is not that I am single and likely to stay single, but that I am lonely and likely to stay lonely. Don't mix singleness with loneliness. There is no loneliness like that of a failed marriage. What's worse? To be single and alone, or to be in marriage and desperately lonely? This world that I live in is empty and cold. The loneliness cuts me and tortures my soul. Loneliness is my least favorite thing about life. The thing that I'm most worried about is just being alone without anybody to care for or someone who will care for me. The most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. Online communities are an expression of loneliness. Think about that. Facebook, apps, tweets, 650 friends on Facebook, and I don't know my next door neighbor. Millions of words in communication, more than ever in the history of the world, and less eye to eye, heart to heart, touch to touch connection. The world's most devastating malady. As you know, the Bible makes it plain that loneliness can affect not just the irreligious, but the religious and those who claim to know God. You know that, don't you? After all, that's what the Bible tells us. Here's Jeremiah. He's desperately lonely. Here's David crying out in this psalm which was read to you. I look to the right and see there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. No one stood with me. Even Jesus on the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, loneliness is not just something which is physical and emotional and psychological. It can be spiritual too. That's for sure. And it's real. Number two, it's robbery. You see, when God made man, he made him with communicable attributes, just like himself. In fact, if you read the account way back when this universe was in its cradle, God, in the Trinity of his persons, plural, said, let us make man in our image. And you remember that God dwells in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God dwells in community. And God dwells in fellowship. And the fact that man has fallen from grace meant that man was made in his image to walk with God, to walk with him and talk with him and know him. Because of the fall, Adam, where are you? And a separation came. And loneliness robs a man or a woman of confidence. Do you know that you can be the life and soul of the party? Flamboyant, extrovert. Everyone think, wow. And be desperately lonely. No confidence. robs us of identity. Outside of God, who am I? Why am I here? What is life about? Where am I going? Of real humanity, because man was made in the image and likeness of God. A man's heart is restless till it finds its rest in God. So true humanity is found in fellowship with the creator of the universe. And it robs people of their dignity, their sense of worth. The psychologists tell us that there are six basic human needs. First, there is the need to exist. It's called survival. Second, there is the need for emotional and economic stability. That's the need for security. Thirdly, there's the need for intimacy. That's the need for sex. And close friendships. The need to count for something and be worthwhile. That's the need for significance. The need to achieve. That's the need for self-fulfillment. The need for a role or a sense of identity. And that's the need for selfhood. But of course, the Bible says that there is another need. It's the need for spirituality, for oneness, union with God in Christ. It's not good to be alone. God made a comforter, a helper, a soulmate, a friend. But even the comforters, helpers, soulmates, lovers, and friends will not fill that void, that emptiness that man and woman needs by being in union and fellowship with God. And outside of him, we're robbed of real value, real significance, and real worth. Grace Llewellyn Smith. It's painful to read this. On her gravestone had no date of birth and no date of death. This is what was written on her stone. She sleeps, but rests not. She loved, but was not loved in return. She tried to please, but found no pleasure. She died as she lived, lonely. Some of you know that less than a couple of hundred yards from here, actually, just round the corner, Paul McCartney lived. And I remember singing, "All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Where do they all belong?" Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church, Father McKenzie darning his socks, and thinking, why didn't Eleanor Rigby and Father McKenzie get together? Why didn't they? Why didn't they? Because alone and lonely, they were robbed. Number three, its remedy. The remedy for loneliness is a community of care. The remedy for loneliness is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm conscious of the fact that you can't in 20 minutes say to people who might need a whole year of counselling, who might need someone to just pour out their soul with day after day for longer than that, who might need to visit the doctor even for medication. I'm conscious of the fact that nothing that I say in this brief period of time is going to bridge that gap. However, I speak on the authority of God's word that a community of care is absolutely important. Did you notice what was read to us in Ecclesiastes? Very often this is read at weddings, but it's not just about romance and marital union. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, we need a community of care. And that community of care ought to be expressed in the life of the local church. It really ought to be expressed there. Honestly, it ought to. Because in a local church, there are men and women who've done a number of things. Number one, a man or woman who admits their loneliness. It's important to admit that you're alone and you feel lonely, that you need someone else. We're a community of broken, vulnerable, needy men and women. And in a community of care, you can admit your loneliness. In a community of care, others will help you to seek to get close to God, to walk with Him, to talk with Him. In a community of care, you can share the promises of God, can't you? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. If my father or mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In a community of care, those things happen. In a community of care, you can get with a small group or a growth group of men and women whom you can meet with, talk to, listen to, cry with. In a community of care, you can truly network with others. You can truly take a risk. I'm afraid I'll have to save a talk on courtship for another time. But you know, you need to take a risk. And can I speak to men and women here who are in families? Do you know what the Bible says? God sets the solitary in families. We should be a community of care where our homes are open, where our hearts are open, where men and women don't need to be alone, where they can come and share their burdens and cry their tears and have a hug. Listen, some of you don't know me, some of you do. It's very rare that on a Sunday I won't give someone a hug or a kiss. Please don't think I'm flirting. Please don't think that. There are people in this church who go from one Sunday to the next. No one touches them. Nobody. Nobody gives them a kiss on the cheek. Nobody. Nobody invites them into their home. A community of care will allow other people to network with others. A community of care will help you live on cans and not can'ts. A community of care will encourage you to work on your undesirables and slay your self-pity and make friends. A community of care will encourage you to use your time, to use your experience, to use your pain and not nurse it. A community of care will recognize that the only day we've got is today. Isn't it a fact? Friends, listen to me. Isn't it a fact that very often when we feel most lonely is because we're looking back at all the mistakes we've made, or we're looking forward at all the fear of being alone in the future or lonely in the future? And a true community of care will help you pray and mean the prayer, "My Father, this I ask of thee, knowing that you will grant my plea. For this and only this I pray, strength for today, just for today. Strength for each trial and each task. What more, my Father, could I ask, but that I need it every day? Strength for my weakness, just for today." Oh, you're a young person here, just today. Draw near to Jesus, just today. Are you a divorcee here, struggling? Just today. Draw near to Jesus, just today. Are you a widow or a widower here? Draw near to Jesus, just today. The only day we've got is today, now. And a true community of care will help you be a friend. Not seek a friend. Be a friend. He who desires friends must show himself friendly. If you want friends, be a friend. Take initiative. If no one's opening their home or flat to you, you open your home or flat. If no one's offering you a lift, why don't you offer them a lift? Why don't you take the initiative? Be a friend. That's what a community of care does. And according to the New Testament, a community of care weeps with those who weep and rejoices with those who rejoice. Friends, please, listen. I want this church packed to the back, morning and evening and every service. But you've got my permission, and I've earned the right to say this. You've got my permission to leave this church. If the pastors and elders and leaders and members of the church have no time for you, no care for you, if it's all just phony baloney, saying yes but meaning no, leave. Find a community of care. If you're a member of the church, be a community of care. Be. Love people. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently, and mean it, and show it. Not at word's end, but at hand's end. But remedy is found only in the friend who sticks closer than a brother. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. He bled and died to save me. A comforter, a shepherd, a savior, a guide. A friend in life, a friend in need, a friend in deed, a friend in trouble, a friend in death, a friend for eternity. On Saturday morning, the leaders of the church sang an old song. We sang it together, unaccompanied. It's a very old song. It's based upon the fact that Christ bore our sins in his body to the tree. And it's based upon the fact that in the New Testament, we find these words, "Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you." Listen to the words. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. But burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Troubled soul, the Saviour can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Take your burden of sin and your burden of loneliness and take it to Jesus. And find in Him a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let's stand and